There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along on this. I'm going to turn your headphones up because you have bone out of ears like me. On this Thursday and next hour, guest in studio and my friend and director of Wildlife and Freshwater Fisheries for the state of Alabama, Chuck Sykes. And I thought we're going to have Sid in here with us. What happened?
Well, we had a Forever Wild Board meeting at Gulf State Park today, and the lodge is not Sid friendly, so
this
Sid
is
had
dog.
To stay at home.
It's a shame. I thought we're going to get to. I like because this is. You asked if it's okay to have dogs in the studio. He would be the 25th dog in this year in this studio.
Yeah,
it's a dog friendly studio.
He was not happy that he didn't get to come. He was looking forward to it.
Good. I mean, I went and stopped and got treats and everything, man. So great to have you here, and so much to talk about, and y'all have questions. We're going to talk CWD today, and this is a subject that I know that's actually gotten outside the hunting world interest of people that don't even hunt. And the discussion of CWD. But you mentioned you're at a Forever Wild meeting today. Explain to people what Forever Wild is who are not
Forever Wild is basically a land purchasing program that the state has. They are appropriated up to $15 million a year through revenues coming in off of oil and gas. And the main job of this board is to provide public access to either WMAs, state parks, recreational areas, or ecologically sensitive areas that need to be protected.
But for like us here, if people are trying to picture it, Upper Delta Wildlife Management Area.
Yes.
That big blocks of land like that, that's Forever Wild.
Yes. And then you've hunted Cedar Creek and Portland Landing.
Absolutely.
That was a partnership between Wildlife and Freshwater Fisheries and Forever Wild, where we furthered our mission and furthered Forever Wild's mission and multiplied money by working together. Forever Wild provided the state match. We provided our Pittman Robertson dollars, so we matched 3-1, so Forever Wild didn't use as much of their money, and we were able to get those fine pieces of public property.
I'm going to have you explain a layman's version of that in just a second, but it's funny because men like you that, wildlife biologists, somebody who spends time in the woods and wants to be with the critters, did you know when you got this gig you'd spend so much time on grants and 3-1 ratios and all this kind of stuff?
No, I write for a couple of magazines every month, and I wrote one this week on I Bet You Didn't Know, and that's what it was. There was things when I came into this job that I thought, with my background, I'll be able to handle this easily, but I know there's going to be some things that I didn't know anything. I mean, there's a lot that goes on.
Yeah, it's not the job is... And not just dealing with the critters and the fish.
No, people think, I hunt and fish.
Yeah.
We manage hunting and fishing, but no, that's just a small portion of it.
You mentioned Pittman Robertson Act, and this is something that not a whole bunch of people know, that they may know that there's an excise tax on their guns and ammunition and things that shoot, I guess, for lack of a better term. This excise tax, it's already built in. Y'all won't see this on the your receipt, but it's built in right at the manufacturer level.
Yeah.
How does that process work? When that money is taken, where does it go, and how do we ever get it back to Alabama?
All right. I'm going to have to tell you a story. I'll try to be as brief as I can.
Okay.
The act passed in 1937. This is a federal act. It's not state. And put yourself back in that those times, 1937.
Pretty bleak days for wildlife.
You're coming in off tail end of the Great Depression. Mm-hmm. Wildlife numbers were in the toilet. Mm-hmm. People were either hunting them to survive, or that was their job. They were market hunting. They were selling feathers. They were selling meat. They were selling hides. So wildlife had basically been raped and pillaged just to keep society going. Mm-hmm. A group of manufacturers of firearms and ammunition got together and said, if we don't do something, we're not going to have customers because we're going to kill everything out.
A business decision.
Was a business decision.
Yeah.
This group said, basically, we're going to impose a tax on us. Manufacturers pay it into a fund to give a constant source of funding to state fish and wildlife agencies.
Okay.
It goes to the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. They distribute it to the states on a ratio as long as my arm, but basically the land base of your state, which we can't do anything about, and the number of hunting licenses that you sell. Alabama ranks about 7th or 8th in the nation on hunting-related expenditures.
Wow.
Your wife can probably vouch for that.
Not, I haven't admitted to of that stuff.
We spend a lot of money on our yes. hunting and fishing supplies.
Yes.
So there's a big pot of money up in Washington that U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service wants to send back to Alabama.
Because it could be. I mean, this is the Alabama share.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
This is what Alabama people paid into it.
Okay.
And we have to sell hunting licenses to get it. They don't just write us a check and say, here's your money, spend it wisely. We have to come up with the money, and then we get reimbursed 3-to-1. So for every dollar of state money that we put in, we can utilize $3 of Pittman Robertson. So, for example, if we buy a 1,000-acre piece of property and partner with Forever Wild, in most simplistic terms, Forever Wild gets 250 acres of it. We get 750 acres of it. There's that 3-to-1 split.
Okay.
So Forever Wild gets to take credit for 1,000 acres that they've got a quarter invested in. We get to take credit for 1,000 acres that we've got 3/4 invested in, and the public wins.
So the quarter invested by Forever Wild triggers that 3-to-1
absolutely
ratio. That happens once. That's done, and that money is sitting there. That money's in that account, in that escrow account up there.
Mm-hmm.
If we don't buy that piece of land,
or if we don't spend it on management activities, it's got a finite period that we can use it. It goes somewhere else.
Wait a second. So
we can lose
Alabamians
it.
Put this money in there. If we don't
yes.
use it, somebody else can
somebody
use it?
Else can use it. Absolutely.
Well, like another state?
Yes.
It could go to California?
It could go wherever. We have a certain allotted period of time to obligate those funds to a project.
These are funds that came from Alabamians that are
yep.
sitting in this escrow account, and what this process is freeing them up to come home to Alabama.
That's right. But if we don't have non-federal dollars to match it, we don't get it. And since we do not get appropriations from the state general fund.
Yeah, remind folks, how are y'all funded?
We are funded by people buying hunting and fishing licenses and these excise taxes. There's one called Dingle Johnson that handles fishing equipment. There's one called Pittman Robertson that's all hunting related equipment. That's how we're funded. Your tax dollars does not go to provide our services. So if people don't buy hunting and fishing licenses, that cuts our funding, and we have to start, our services are cut.
And if you don't have the money or the partnerships to invest some money in the land, that money that Alabamians
that money
put
can
in
go away.
Won't ever come home and will go somewhere else to
yeah.
another state.
Yep. Here's the reality of it. When I first started in 2012, our PR apportionment was like $8 million.
Okay.
That's a good chunk coming back into the state.
PR apportionment. That's
Pittman Robertson. That was the money that was sitting up there waiting for us.
Okay.
All right. 2 years ago, it was $18 million.
I like that.
All right, so that's great. We got a bunch of money sitting up there. But guess what? Hunting licenses didn't increase. So we have to come up with really creative ways to match.
Yes.
Now, with your last guess, that was on here and the debate and the discussions y'all were having, why did that money go up? How did it go from $8 million to $18 million in just a few years?
I have a guess.
Okay.
I guess, and it was an 8-year period. It went up during the 2 terms of former President Obama.
Absolutely. He was the best gun salesman that there's ever been. People were scared.
Yep.
They're going to take our ARs. We're not going to be able to get ammunition, so they stocked up.
Remember, you couldn't find it. You couldn't even find 22 for a while there.
No, for a long time, Federal was running 3 shifts just to make rimfire 22s.
Yeah.
So that was great. There's a lot of money up there for us to put work on the ground. But those people that was putting that money in there were doing that for personal protection and home protection. They weren't hunters.
Right.
So we didn't have any way to capture it.
That money's locked up there without having – it doesn't matter how many shooters or home defense. The way this law, this tax, this what was built in, Pittman-Roberts, it has to have hunting licenses.
It has to have state match. And we were lucky that the board of Forever Wild was forward-thinking enough that when I brought the proposal to them, they said, absolutely, that sounds good, and we've been able to really utilize that excess of money that was up there. Without them, we would have been in a mess.
But you say this money needs to be used, too, because there is a – we can't just say, well,
there's
we'll
a shelf
around.
Life.
There is a shelf life.
Yes.
A use-by date on this thing.
Yes, absolutely. You can't just stick it back for a rainy day.
All right, coming right back, more of this discussion, and we'll delve off into a lot of things here. CWD, I know a lot of people have questions when we talk about this. This man has the answers, or all the answers available on CWD, what it could mean. Speaking of money, what would not having deer season in the state of Alabama mean to the businesses and the government here in Alabama? We'll talk about that and a whole lot more when we come back right here on Midday Mobile.
Is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 123 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here, and always great to talk to Chuck Sykes, Director of Wildlife and Freshwater Fisheries for the state of Alabama. And as much as maybe during the commercial breaks or when he's on the outdoor show, we'll talk about just the straight up hunting and fishing, talking about the job you do, that there's a lot of politics and knowing things and grant writing and a lot more of that than messing with critters.
Man, it's so easy just to manage wildlife and timber. That I miss the days of consulting where I could go to your property and sit down with you and you said, this is what I want to do. I can make it happen, and I could make you happy.
Mm-hmm.
I can't do that anymore. It doesn't matter if I lock my door and hide under my desk. I'm going to make somebody mad. So
probably means you're doing your job, and I like that. Quickly, just a little bit more on these dollars coming back to the state. I want to make sure people understand this, because that money is Alabama money that's sitting there, that we have to have some sort of spending from Alabama to be able to trigger the 3-to-1.
That's right.
And so it would be of interest, I would think, because I think about the WMAs that I hunt and places like that, and there's also people go hiking on them, they go canoeing, they go... So, I mean, is it strange for me to say somebody that doesn't hunt or fish, which I don't know what's wrong with y'all, don't fish, but if they enjoy public land in Alabama, it's almost worth them buying a hunting license and not hunting.
Well, and even if they are just completely opposed to hunting, because I know there are some people out there like that.
Right.
We have something that's called a wildlife heritage license.
Okay.
That is just for them. They don't have to say they're a hunter. They don't have to say they're a fisherman. They don't have to participate in consumptive use of wildlife, but yet they enjoy being outdoors. They enjoy bird watching, hiking, whatever.
Bird watching is huge.
And utilize our WMAs or any public land for that. Then they can buy this heritage license.
That counts?
And that counts. Absolutely. We can count them.
So, I mean, I can't imagine, and I've run into some bird watchers, and those folks are as dedicated
Their
craft as any of us that hunt fish. I've been truly impressed, and they know their stuff. If they enjoy the public lands to go birding on, they need to. So I bet you there are a lot of people that do that didn't know this license was available.
No, and look, I speak to a lot of Rotary clubs and Kiwanis clubs and things like that, and I have people come up to me constantly. I don't hunt. Why should I buy a hunting license? Okay, well, you receive services that we provide whether you hunt or not. Tornadoes, hurricanes. Who's out there?
Yeah.
We are.
That's right.
Our folks are trained to work outside. We've got the equipment to do it.
But, of course, y'all y'all don't get any funding from general fund.
So hunters and fishermen are paying for
y'all
services
to do work, tornado, hurricane.
That everybody receives benefit from. So once people understand that we don't receive tax dollars, they're getting services that hunters and fishermen are paying for. It's not that big a deal to get a $11 wildlife heritage license where they can participate as well.
Did somebody get that on the through Outdoor Alabama?
Outdoor Alabama, yep. Go to the website, go to licenses, wildlife heritage. There you go. We've even got hard cards this year with a indigo bunting on it for the bird watchers, or a sandhill crane for the bird watchers.
Cool.
And you can get your hard card with a wildlife heritage license, and you can contribute to wildlife management in the state.
So when you make your request for the Alabama money that's sitting in that fund up there, the number of licenses are what matter.
Absolutely.
And that money comes back to have public lands to bird on and hunt and fish and canoe and hike and all that.
Yes. I mean, that's what funds our services that we provide, is hunters and fishermen buying licenses and those excise tax. That's it.
Talk about one of the hot subjects, of course, going into bow season's already in, looking at rifle season coming up, and the change this year with the baiting license to hunt over bait.
Yep.
Speaking of licenses as well, this has been a subject that was bounced around hunting camps for a long time, and then the legislature for about as long, and then changed this year, and we're baiting. You can. You can choose to. And you've said this before. Say it. What if somebody doesn't want to bait?
They don't have to. It's not mandated.
There's nobody forcing you to bait.
And look, I got in as much trouble about this because I am a trained biologist. Mm-hmm. I'm supposed to tell you that feeding is bad.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're taught in school. An unnatural congregation of animals is unhealthy.
Mm-hmm.
Look, I get it. If I've got a cold and me and you are sitting in this studio, the odds of you getting it is greater than if we're standing outside on the lawn.
Mm-hmm.
That's just common sense. But throw all that out the window, because in my position now, I've got to look at not just the biology, but the social aspects, the political aspects. And in Alabama, it was legal to feed 365 days a year. The legislature said it's okay to feed animals.
Right. The thing that people would worry about biologically was already going on.
It was already there. So saying baiting is bad, but feeding is okay, that's hypocritical.
It is.
Corn is corn, or pellets are pellets, whether it's feeding or baiting.
So the argument then is this argument about the science, or is this argument about some ethic construct?
But it's social science and political science. It's not wildlife science.
Mm-hmm.
It's whether you want to do it. It's a personal preference whether you want to hunt over feed or not. So the legislature passed it. So thankfully, we don't have to argue about that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It's legal. So now, if you do it, one thing that they wrote into the bill is there's no exemptions.
Meaning hunting on your own land, being too old to have a license or too young?
Yes. So what does that do?
Sounds like it increases license sales.
It increases our ability to count people as hunters. Now, for you and I, if we buy it, it doesn't matter
because
we're already buying a license. But
you know my family. I got a 14-year-old and a 9-year-old.
Yep. So for the first time in the history of the state, we can count your kids as hunters because that is a license.
Now we start to magnify the number of licenses as you get
absolutely
that federal money back.
It gives us a bigger piece of that pie.
And this is, it's one of these things that I want to, you got a bunch of questions coming in on the text line, but I want people to understand that the first point you made, I think, is one that is lost in these discussions. The biological question was already in the rear view because we were allowed to feed. So that was not the debate anymore, because it was already going on.
It was already there. And what the legislature did as well, I got to give them credit for it. They talked to us and took our suggestions. They gave the department the ability to manage feeding in the event of a disease outbreak. So now we can look at the biology of it. If we have a problem, we don't have to wait for the session to come in, battle it out whether it's right or wrong. If we've got the biological need to do it, now the department has the ability to manage feeding.
All right, and we come back, we'll talk about why that's important. The CWD discussion plays right into this.
Yep.
I got a bunch of questions from the text line we're going to get for Director Chuck Sykes when we get back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 136 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. And guest Chuck Sykes, Director of Alabama Wildlife and Freshwater Fisheries, our guest, and a lot of questions coming in here on the text line, and we will get into those. But I want to transition quickly because we talked about the way the law is now for feeding or baiting, whatever the purpose is. You got critters eating stuff out of a container or yep. on the ground or whatever.
Yep.
CWD. That some people have heard it as zombie deer or whatever, but
well,
chronic
that sells,
yeah,
that sells ads better.
Yes, but chronic wasting disease,
yep.
which the first time you called me a couple years ago about this, I was so scared at the end. I still am scared at the end of the conversation because of the fact that it sticks around, doesn't go away. This is something that is transferred a lot of different ways, but the states that have it, there's no feeding, there's no baiting, there's nothing that's nose-to-nose contact and saliva, right?
In areas, yeah. Yeah, that's one of the first things you
if
do.
If all of a sudden you had an outbreak in Washington County of CWD, or it's in Choctaw County.
Mm-hmm. You try to reduce numbers and you try to spread them out. I mean, that, again, just like me and you sitting in this room, it's just common sense. If we stick 10 people in this room and one of us is sick, the odds are that more of them are going to get sick than if we're outside.
But this is not a cold. This is Ebola. This is
pretty much
the deer version
It never leaves, and it's always fatal. You do not recover from it. And look, I don't want people to get scared. I just want.
Sorry about that. Continue our conversation with Director of Wildlife and Freshwater Fisheries, Chuck Sykes, and we were talking about CWD. And I want to quickly remind folks, too, there's going to be this discussion coming to our neighborhood here in 2 weeks from now.
That's right. That's right. We've got seminars going all over the state. One in Auburn last night. We've got one in Tuscaloosa tonight. And we are coming down this way.
Yeah, it's going to be Thursday the 21st, I know, in here. And by the way, too, if people have questions, too, and they can't get to one of these events, they can go. I know Outdoor Alabama has a lot of information about CWD on there as well. People want to educate themselves on
absolutely.
Because there's two things. There's what people see on Facebook and, you know, what their buddies told them or what their cousin or kinfolk told them. And then there's what is the science behind this. And this is serious enough. You better know what's real.
Yeah. Again, I don't
I know you're not trying to scare people.
I just want them to be educated about it because there is a ton of misinformation out there. This is a serious deal. I mean, for me and you, it's a way of life.
Yep.
For a lot of people, it is, but it's also a huge economic engine for the state of Alabama. I mean, over $1 billion a year comes into the state.
Say what?
Through hunting. Billion. So this is a big deal, and we want people to be informed. Whether you hunt or fish or not, some way, shape, form, or fashion, deer hunting has an impact on most citizens of Alabama.
Absolutely.
Whether you own a restaurant, a convenience store, a hotel.
Yeah.
There's a lot of deer hunters coming in spending money.
And this, and while we don't have it, thank goodness, we're one of the states that doesn't have CWD, and you're trying to keep it that way.
Absolutely. This is definitely one of those cases that my granddaddy used to tell me about where an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure.
That's for sure. And quick little side, you talk about it never going away. This is, I want what you told me years ago about this, I want people to understand that once this CWD gets in an area, every deer could be gone, but the CWD isn't.
That's right. This is not a virus, it's not a bacteria, so it can live outside of the body. This is actually basically a misfolded protein, so it can get in the environment. The first
it
place.
It doesn't die.
It does not die.
This is what I've had tough brain stretch on this. Something in the natural environment, but it does not die. It can sit there in the dirt. It doesn't have to be in a host animal.
No, it can live outside of the host animal because, again, since it's a protein, it can be taken up into plants. It can live in the soil. So in areas where the infection rate is extremely high among animals, then it starts having an impact by just being in the environment. It can stay there. So we just want people to be informed. There's one tonight in Tuscaloosa, one Tuesday, November the 19th in Selma at the co-op, one Wednesday, November the 20th in Eufaula, and then one Thursday, November the 21st down here in Spanish Fort.
All right. I want to, and we'll remind folks of that, too, and talk about it next week. Remind you all before that event. A couple questions here.
Yep.
We're running from the text line. So Ben asked, is it every hunter in the stand that needs a baiting permit, or is it every person in the stand? Is it every hunter in the stand needs a baiting permit, or every person in the stand needs a baiting permit? These are different, and was a discussion amongst me and my hunting buddies this week.
Okay. Here's the deal. A hunter, by definition of Alabama, does not necessarily mean that you have a gun in your hand. A hunter, I can be classified as a hunter when I'm carrying someone turkey hunting and I'm calling.
Even if you don't have your
gun. Even if I don't have my gun, because I am participating in the hunt. So if I help drag the deer, if I carry the backpack to the stand,
okay,
if I'm using binoculars and spotting, if you are participating in the hunt, you are technically a hunter. Whether a hunt does not mean shoot and kill. A hunt means the act of pursuing animals. And if you're participating, you are a hunter.
So if there is, and so that means you have to have the baiting stamp if there's bait there. What about if there's not? If they're doing those same things, do they have to have a hunting license?
If they're not in one of the exempt classifications, yes. And, okay, and we have that every year where, well,
hey, I'm
just going with my wife and I'm carrying her backpack.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you're helping her hunt. So therefore, you are participating in the hunt.
My wife comes with me.
If she helps you drag the deer,
yeah,
she needs a license.
Okay. That's probably news to a lot of people, Chuck.
And look, we didn't make the rule.
Right.
We just enforce it, and that's the way hunting is defined, is just like a lot of people down here are familiar with alligators. If you're in the boat, you need a hunting license because you are either handing the person with the permit, a paddle, binoculars, a light. You've got binoculars. You're looking for alligators. Mm-hmm. You are participating in that hunt. So everybody in the boat,
even though you're not the permit holder who has a tag,
no,
but
you're still helping.
Right. Laura asks, am I correct that you have to have a lifetime, if you have a lifetime license, you have to register every year to be counted?
No, sir. That is incorrect. If you buy a lifetime license, we can count you for X number of years. And I'm just going to throw some numbers. If you get a lifetime license when you're 16, mm-hmm, your first license, we can count you till you're probably 67, 68 years old.
Okay.
And you don't have to do anything. That's okay. All factored in. So you are participating every year.
Okay. So I got mine at 29. So
we'll count you till you're 115.
Yeah, I'll probably make 120. Let's see. Donald, this is a good question talking about CWD. Does it affect any other animals?
Okay. As of right now, me sitting here talking to you today, there appears to be a very strong species barrier.
Okay.
That it does not jump.
But you mean outside of whitetail? But
yes.
There's other.
There are other diseases, CJD, Creutzfeldt-Jakob's disease in humans.
Right.
Scrapie in sheep.
Okay.
BSE or mad cow disease in cattle. They're all
that same
forms
family
of this transmissible spongiform encephalopathy.
Wow.
A TSE type disease. So right now, CWD has never been shown to jump species and go to something else.
But it would be present inside, not our issue here, because cervid wise we've got whitetail deer. But let's say you go to a Kansas or Colorado, you know, where they have whitetails, mule deer,
basically
elk.
If it casts an antler every year, if it sheds, mule deer, moose, caribou, reindeer, elk, whitetail, mule deer, blacktail.
They can all get CWD.
They can all get it, yes.
As Adrian asked, how does the infectious deer CWD affect predators, coyotes, hogs, eating carrion, etc.? That's back to, it doesn't jump the...
There's a lot of studies right now looking at that to see if a coyote that eats a CWD positive deer, if those prions can pass through the coyote without infecting the coyote and getting back into the environment.
It could almost be like the dirt or a plant.
Yeah, so there's a lot of studies right now, and there is a lot of emphasis looking at feral pigs right now.
Wow. All right. We're coming back more of this discussion. I got a lot more questions here, and you can text them into 343-0106, 343-0106. We'll continue our discussion with Chuck Sykes.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 152 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. The segment of the show brought to you by Harry's. Humans have been shaving for over 5,000 years. See, that was new information from the folks at Harry's. They said from flint tools to shark's teeth to the first copper razor, we always knew a great shave came down to one thing, then very simple thing, a sharp, durable blade. Well, here in 2019, Harry's is still getting that done. I've been telling you about Harry's. Been shaving with them for 6+ years now, and this is the best deal I've seen. If you've been on the fence, you heard me talking about it, you said, I don't know. How about now? You get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and travel cover all for just $3, plus free shipping when you use my code MOBILE at harrys.com. That is the best deal yet. I mean, it's $3, y'all. Harry's has an amazing offer for you right now. New customers, $5 off the trial set. When you go to harrys.com, use the code MOBILE. It means you get a 5-blade razor, you get the weighted handle, you get the foaming shave gel, which smells pretty good, and the travel cover all for just $3, plus free shipping when you use code MOBILE at harrys.com. Go to harrys.com today, use code MOBILE at checkout, and claim your offer and see what I've been talking about all these years. And save money, because instead of spending $4 per blade on your replacement blades, how about $2? Yeah, I like that too. All right, I want to get rapid fire on some questions here for you because we only have a few minutes left and a lot of them coming in. So let's run through this. And Lisa asked, is CWD contagion to humans? And right now...
Right now, no. However...
But there is a human version of this.
There's a human version of a prion disease, but I will have to tell you that the Centers for Disease Control issued a statement 2 years ago that says if you harvest an animal... a deer in a CWD positive area, they suggest that you have that deer tested before you consume it, just out of an abundance of caution.
And nice news is we are not
we don't have it
we so, don't have it
so no
we're good here in Alabama, but we're trying to make sure it stays that way.
Yes, I plan to hunt this weekend. If I harvest a doe, she's going on the grill.
You didn't have a backstrap from that deer the other day?
No, I donated that. Good. I did. I had some people that needed some venison, and I was happy to oblige.
Good for you. On our license sales issue, this texture says, tell the director to get rid of hunter safety course, and they'll sell more licenses.
That's about like saying you're going to take away the seatbelt law and sell more cars. Look, every hunting accident comes across my desk. Unfortunately, I see them all. Had a fatality on November the 2nd. 90% of the people that get injured in hunting accidents are our age.
What?
35 to 40 to 65. You know why?
Mm-mm.
They never had to take a hunter education course.
Right.
We know what we're doing.
Yeah,
I've done it for 30 years. Don't tell me I need a safety harness and I slip off the tree and I die and my family's left to deal with the fallout. So that's absolutely an unacceptable suggestion, and don't think it would do one bit of good.
All right, this says, if you hold a lifetime license, do you have to buy your baiting license every year, or can you add it to a lifetime bait license to your current lifetime license?
The way the legislature set that law up and that license up, it is an annual license. So even though I have a lifetime license, if I choose to hunt over bait, I'm going to have to buy that baiting license every year. Just like when I go dove hunting, I've got to get my HIP permit every year.
You come duck hunting with me, you got to get your state and federal duck stamp.
That's exactly right.
You go on the WMA, you got to get a WMA permit.
Yes.
Okay, this is kind of the same thing. Can CWD harm humans who unknowingly eat the infected deer? I don't know if knowing or unknowing, it's the...
Yeah, I think we answered that. As of right now, it has not been shown to jump species barrier into humans, but out of an abundance of caution, if you hunt in an area that is known to have CWD, the Centers for Disease Control says have that animal tested before you consume it. Speaking of that, we are putting freezers, drop-off locations, all over the state this year. If you want to have your deer tested, if you want to help us in the testing process, we've probably tested over 8,000 deer in the state of Alabama. So the people that say it's already here, or either you're not looking for it. Oh, no, we're looking for it.
You tested 8,000.
We've tested over 8,000 deer in the state of Alabama.
Clear. That's good news. Because you know my house. My kids eat that. Yes. I eat that. That's what we eat.
So if you want to help us, there are drop-off locations all around the state. You can look at outdooralabama.com, and we've got those locations there. Drop your head off, and we'll have it tested.
All right. I'm going to have you back here soon to talk about that. All right.
Absolutely. Thank you.
As always, man, a lot of fun. Director of Alabama Wildlife and Freshwater Fisheries, Chuck Sykes. And we're wrapping it up. Paul Feinbaum on the way next. I'll see you in the morning for Mobile Morning starting at 6:00.